You know, if I would have applied myself, I could have gone to the NBA.
You think so?
Yeah, I think so. But it's just like, it's been done. You know, I didn't want to, I was like, I don't want to be a follower. Hi, I'm Jason Concepcion.
And I'm Shea Serrano. And we are back. We have a new podcast from Wondery. It's called Six Trophies.
Woo!
And it's the f***ing best.
Each week, Shea Serrano and I are combing through all the NBA storylines, finding the best, most interesting, most compelling stories, and then handing out six pop culture themed trophies for six basketball related activities.
Trophies like the Dominic Toretto, I Live My Life a Quarter Mile at a Time trophy, which is given to someone who made a short-term decision with no regard for future consequence.
Or the Christopher Nolan Tenet trophy, which is given to someone who did something that we didn't understand.
Catalina Wine Mixer trophy.
Ooh, the Lauryn Hill You Might Win Some, But You Just Lost One trophy. And what's more, the NBA playoffs are here, so you want to make Six Trophies your go-to companion podcast through all the craziness. Follow Six Trophies on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. Listen ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus.
Hello, Lakers Nation. Welcome in. It's game day. Lakers, Nuggets, game five. Let's go. I know the Lakers are going to go into Denver tonight as the underdog, but if, just if, they could find a way to get a win, oh boy, that would flip a lot of the pressure in the series over onto the Denver Nuggets. Remember, no team has come back from down 0-3 in a series, but someday somebody's going to do it. Why not us? Why not the Lakers? We've got a lot to talk about on today's show. Really big injury update I got to get into on both sides. Both the Lakers and the Nuggets need to talk about some keys to the game tonight as well. Plus, get into the mailbag. But first, quick reminder, do subscribe to the Lakers Nation YouTube channel. We'll keep you up to date on everything going on in the world of the Lakers, playoffs or otherwise, as well as the LakersNation.com podcast, which you can find over on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever it is that you listen to podcasts. All right. Let's get into it here. The injury report, the big news. Look at that. Right in the middle of the screen over on the YouTube channel, Jared Vanderbilt upgraded to questionable. Welcome back, Vando. Jared Vanderbilt questionable. That suggests that he is most likely going to be available tonight against the Denver Nuggets. If not, it would be the next game, game six. Yes, I'm assuming game six does indeed happen, but Vando questionable for tonight's game. We got to talk a bit about that. First, Anthony Davis, LeBron James, both listed as probable. Ho-hum, we know they're playing. Jalen Hood-Schifino, Cam Reddish listed as out. Okay, all those things we knew. That stuff's done. Vando, what does this mean for the Lakers? So we already saw Christian Wood come back, and I'm doing air quotes for those of you who are listening to the podcast side. When I say he came back, he was available to play. In game four, he did not play. He did not step on the floor, but he was available to play. So now you don't see him on the injury report anymore. He is available should the Lakers call upon him. They did not do that. They chose not to play him in game four. Could the same happen with Jared Vanderbilt? Sure, that could happen if Darvin Ham feels really comfortable with his rotation, likes what he's seeing out there. You don't have to try to throw Jared Vanderbilt into the deep end in Denver in a game five playoff situation. That's asking a lot for a guy who has not played basketball in months. However, could they use Jared Vanderbilt, the skill set that he would bring? Absolutely. Now, that doesn't mean Jared Vanderbilt's going to step in and play 30 minutes. No, no, no. But for a couple of short stints, 5 minutes here, 5 minutes there, one half to the next, sure. Absolutely. I think one of the issues that we've seen with this Lakers team lately, it's been defending Michael Porter Jr. I think that's an area that Jared Vanderbilt could help. Now, one of the problems that Rui Hachimura has had defending him and why I think Torian Prince had some success in game four instead of Rui and why Darvin Ham justifiably in this case gave the minutes to Torian over Rui, it's because the Denver Nuggets, you can see, they are looking for Michael Porter Jr. to run off a bunch of screens. You got to chase him, and then he's going to pull up in an instant. He's going to hit those threes. He does it. I mean, the style of the classic shooters, you think Klay Thompson, you want to go back further, the master of the mid-range, Rip Hamilton, they're starting to run him off of screens in that style. It's not quite as much constant motion as, say, a Rip Hamilton or someone like that, but they are using Michael Porter Jr. as that designated shooter, and it's putting a lot of pressure on Rui Hachimura. You really can't make any mistakes. If you're off by half of a step, that's a three for Porter Jr., and we've seen he's been able to knock those down. Now, none of those guys are really great as trail defenders. And we're talking Torian Prince, Rui Hachimura, Jared Vanderbilt. But could Vando give a different look out there? Sure, he could give a different look. Can he be a pest defensively? Absolutely. He's at his best when he's trying to lock up high-scoring wing players that like to handle the basketball, your Lucas of the world, right? That's where we see Vando really shine. But could you use him for a stretch on a guy like Michael Porter Jr.? Yeah, absolutely. Could he give you some energy, some boost? For sure. And I think the rebounding, which is one of the keys we're going to be talking about, is another area where Jared Vanderbilt can impact in a positive way more than Torian can, more than Rui can. Of course, he's not going to give you anything close to what either Torian or Rui can give you on the offensive end of the floor. But Jared Vanderbilt can give you that defense, can give you the rebounding. He can jump passing lanes, get steals, things of that nature. I think he can be a difference maker. But as we saw last year in the series against the Denver Nuggets, it's not an ideal matchup for Vando. There's not that kind of big ball-handling wing that Jared Vanderbilt excels at dealing with. That guy doesn't really exist on this Denver Nuggets team. So it's not a clear, yes, we're throwing Vando at Luka. We're throwing him at Paul George. We're throwing him at Kawhi or whoever you want to throw him at. That guy doesn't really exist on this Nuggets team, but I still think that in some short stints, Jared Vanderbilt could be a factor tonight in this game. Good news for the Lakers. Jared Vanderbilt, again, questionable, as we see in the playoffs, questionable tends to mean back. Speaking of which, surprise, surprise, Jamal Murray listed as questionable for tonight's game. The Denver Nuggets listing him as having a calf strain. We saw him limping around a bit in game four. Denver Nuggets fans haven't been thrilled with Murray's shooting. He has not quite been himself, except for that buzzer beater in game two that caused so much pain. But Jamal Murray, questionable. Now, if you're the Lakers, I'm preparing as though he is 100% playing in this game. I'm not even entertaining the idea that Jamal Murray would sit this game out. You know, if there is any possible way that he could be on the floor, he's going to play. He's going to play in front of the Nuggets crowd. I'm sure he's going to be great, right? We know he's kind of due for a big shooting performance. You know they're going to have the crowd on their side. They're going to be loud. I think Jamal Murray's a go. But something worth noting, he's on the injury report, listed as questionable. You never know. If he does play, maybe he's not quite 100%, and we'll see what that might mean for the Lakers defensively. I think Austin Reeves has been doing a pretty good job defensively on Jamal Murray. The Lakers have had a few guys they've thrown at him, but if Murray is not quite 100%, if his jumper doesn't start falling, maybe that opens the door a bit for the Lakers to go into Denver, get the win that they should have gotten in game two, frankly, and then turn this whole series potentially on its head, and then you never know what could happen from there. All right, before I get into the mailbag, let's get into some of the keys of the game. What do the Lakers need to do in order to win tonight? And I think a lot of that requires us to go back to game four and take a look at what it was that caused the Lakers to win game four. And I think it was a couple of things in particular that shifted for the Lakers, and the Lakers made mention of it after the game. I think number one, it was the rebounding. Anthony Davis pulling down 23 big rebounds. That's phenomenal. The Denver Nuggets have had their way with the Lakers on the glass, particularly the offensive glass. They've been giving the Lakers all kinds of problems there. But Anthony Davis, 23 rebounds. He took it upon himself, Thanos style. Just say he grabbed that infinity gauntlet and he said, I'll do it myself, right? Anthony Davis saw the Lakers getting crushed on the boards and said, I got this. I've got this. Pulls down 23 rebounds, most of them defensive rebounds. The Nuggets, who are getting all of these offensive rebound opportunities, and when you give that team extra scoring chances, it's death. Anthony Davis shut that down in game four. Critical the Lakers continue to do that. However, here's the problem. The Nuggets know. The Nuggets can look at a box score. They know exactly what happened to their offensive rebound chances. They know that Anthony Davis took them away. So what are they going to do? They're probably going to commit extra bodies to Anthony Davis. Don't be surprised if you see multiple players throwing box outs at Anthony Davis in this game. They're going to be doing everything they can to keep Anthony Davis off the glass. So what do you do then? Well, that's also going to open up rebounding opportunities for other Lakers. Maybe the aforementioned Jared Vanderbilt, but Rui Hachimura, LeBron James, the guards, they've got to chip in. D'Angelo Russell, Austin Reeves, everyone is going to have to chip in and rebound. The Denver Nuggets are not going to want Anthony Davis to pull down 23 rebounds again. They know their path to victory is crushing the Lakers on the offensive glass. So expect them to commit extra attention to Anthony Davis, which the downside is that's going to create opportunities for some other players. Can they step up? Can Rui, who's 6'8 with a 7'2 wingspan, he's a pretty big dude, should be a quality rebounder. Can he step up and grab some big rebounds for the Lakers? LeBron, we know, one of the physically the most strongest players in the NBA. Can he have a double-digit rebound game? Remember, I think the Nuggets are going to do everything they can to take as many rebounds as they can away from Anthony Davis. That's going to now create openings for the other guys. The question is, can the Lakers capitalize on that? The other thing that the Lakers did in game four was they didn't get destroyed in the third quarter. In the third quarter, in games one through four, the Lakers lost. But in game four, they only lost it by two. Only lost the third quarter by 2 points, and that meant they had an 11-point cushion going into the fourth quarter. That proved to be enough for them to hang on to the win. The Lakers haven't had a problem in the first half. The Lakers have been killing the Nuggets in the first half of games. It's been the second half that's really been hurting them. So with the Lakers scoring so well in the first half, the problem has been primarily the third quarter. They lost the third quarter by double digits in game one and game three. Game two, they only lost the third quarter by five, and really, they should have won the game. There was no reason for them to lose that game. That was ridiculous, inexcusable stuff in game two. So the Lakers, their key to win game five, it's don't lose the third quarter. Or if you're going to lose it, it has to be by a small amount. Keep it close in the third quarter. Now, flip that. What are the Denver Nuggets going to try to do? They are going to try, because as much as we're saying, the Lakers, they need to make sure they keep it close in the third quarter. They can't let the Nuggets go in the big second half run. The Denver Nuggets are saying, we got to stop with these slow starts. We can't keep letting the Lakers dominate the first and second quarter and going to halftime with the lead, and then we got to battle back in the third. We need to start faster. I'm expecting the Denver Nuggets to come out of the gates, guns blazing, doing everything they can to not allow the Lakers to go into halftime with a lead. So keep that in mind, too. So far, all four games this series, the Lakers have led at halftime. The Denver Nuggets are going to try to put a stop to that in game five. They're recognizing that that's an advantage for the Lakers, that if the Lakers play them close in the third, that puts them in a really bad spot going into the fourth quarter. So they are going to try to limit the Lakers' advantage going into halftime. Now, they did that very well in game three. That's why they wound up getting the win there. The Lakers were only up four in game three at halftime, and you could kind of feel that they were just, that was, it was not enough of a cushion for LA given the way the second half of these games have gone. So it's going to be an interesting battle. The Lakers have got to come out ready. I think the Nuggets are going to come out hot. They tend to do that. Teams tend to do that. When they come home after a tough loss, they adjust. They're really focused. The home crowd's going to be cooking, all that. I think the Lakers have to weather the early storm and then counterpunch. That's what I'm looking to see from a mental standpoint. It's about weathering the early storm and then counterpunch. And speaking of that, the mental side of things, this was something I talked about a lot going into game four. It was the Lakers mentally, where are they at? Do they believe they can beat the Denver Nuggets? Or are they looking at that tropical beach and ready to go take a family vacation? What do they want to do? Do they want to go sit on a beach in Tahiti, Cancun, Cabo, wherever they're going to go? Or do they want to get on the damn plane and go to Denver and try to make history? That was the question. We didn't know going into game four what the answer was going to be. Guess what? We got the right answer. We got the right answer. We got the Lakers team that said, nope, not today, Denver. We're beating you today. And they did just that. Now, where's the Lakers mentality? Is it, we didn't get swept? We're good. We didn't get swept. That's enough. Or is the mentality going to be, you let us get one, now you're in trouble. Now you're in trouble because now we know we can beat you. Like when Rocky made Ivan Drago bleed in Rocky IV, and that was proof. That was proof, right? That he's not a machine. He's a man and he can be beaten. Did the Lakers just do that? Did the Lakers just draw blood and prove that the Denver Nuggets are indeed mortal. That's going to be interesting to watch. What is the mindset tonight for the Lakers? Do they go into Denver with confidence, believing and knowing that they can win? And I'll tell you what, the Lakers guards, Austin Reeves, D'Angelo Russell, both having 21 points last game. They're going to have to continue doing that. I know both guys can be a bit streaky with their offensive production, but the Lakers, they hit another level as a team when D'Lo especially really can get it going on the offensive end. I know D'Lo can be streaky. I know that's a thing. You just can't afford it right now. If you're going to survive this, D'Angelo Russell is going to have to string together good performances from here on out if the Lakers are going to have any way to make history and be the first team ever to come back from down 0-3. So a lot to look at for tonight's game, and a lot to watch. Thought the Lakers did a great job in game four, running a lot more organized offense. The stats will bear that out. Sean Davis has talked all about it. The stats bear out that the Lakers are running much more organized offense. If they stick to that, they keep their focus on the offensive end, they're going to keep generating good shots, and then defensively, dig in. Don't let the referees get in your heads. You know there's going to be home cooking there. The referees have not done a great job this series, I believe. There's been a lot of mistakes out there. People are already putting together clips of the whistle LeBron doesn't get compared to the whistle Jokic gets. My God, if it was Joel Embiid, we'd be losing our minds right now with the whistle that guy gets. But the Lakers, they've got to play a smart and very mistake-free basketball game from beginning to end if they want to do this and get the win. All right, everybody, we're going to get into the mailbag, but first, I want a quick reminder here. I lost the bet to Sean Davis. We had a friendly bet that I said Anthony Davis was going to play less games than LeBron James this season. He said the opposite. Sean was right. AD played 76. LeBron played 71. As a result, I talked about this on our last show. That means that I'm the one buying a Lakers jersey for a Lakers Nation fan. In order to be considered to get this Lakers jersey, all you got to do, it's very, very simple. Follow me on X at Trevor_Lane. Follow me over on Instagram at TrevorLaneNBA. Send me a message on either platform. Just say, hey, enter me in the contest. That's it. No catches. Nothing crazy here. Just thought we'd spread some good karma and get somebody a Lakers jersey. So I will be buying a Lakers jersey for somebody. Just make sure you follow me on both platforms. And of course, you got to follow the Lakers Nation accounts and all the, obviously subscribe to the Lakers Nation YouTube channel, of course, the Lakers Nation official channel and Instagram, and as well as over on X as well. Make sure you're following Lakers Nation. I would imagine you're probably already doing that, but of course, hit that subscribe button here on the Lakers Nation YouTube channel as well. Make sure you've done all that. And again, shoot me a message either on X in a DM or on Instagram. Say, hey, want to be considered for the drawing. I'm going to put together all the names. I'll probably do it tomorrow. And I'll pick one. And somebody's going to get a Lakers jersey. So that's coming. I lost the bet. You guys win. That's the way it goes. All right. Let's open up the mailbag.
It's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year.
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations. Forgotten. The history.
Vegas Golden Knights!
History.
Win.
We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Renison says that no call on LeBron splitting the double team and the Nuggets slapping his arms in the fourth quarter was heinous. Lakers played 5-on-8 a few stretches of the game. Game five will be interesting. Yeah, I mean, look, the Lakers, I won't say the officiating has been awful. Obviously, there have been some bad calls. There have been some poor decisions made, certainly by the Lakers, not challenging some of those bad calls, particularly when we look at game two, at that game three, there were some issues as well. Overall, LeBron has not gotten a great whistle, but I'm hoping that game five, despite being in Denver, will be a little bit more evenly called, though I don't have high hopes. I'm not expecting that. I think the Lakers are going to have to battle a difficult whistle in Denver. And it continues to boggle my mind that LeBron James, the face of the NBA for so long, gets such a terrible whistle. I mean, compared to the whistle Jokic gets, compared to the whistle that Giannis gets, compared to the whistle that most players get. Every once in a while, Zion, you'll see him where he gets hit. He's so big, so strong, guys bounce off him. He doesn't get a call. LeBron gets that effect. Meanwhile, Joel Embiid will shoot 15 free throws in a night. Go figure. Orange Oasis said, they are the voice of the voiceless, the light in the darkness, the hope in the minds of the hopeless. They are the Lakers. Lakers in seven. Let's go. Let's get it done. Ems said, "We one game at a time. We won no thanks to Darvin's scam." I thought Darvin, did he make some mistakes? Sure. But I thought offensively, the Lakers' execution was better in game four. Obviously, the defense was better. The rebounding was better. Where, again, mistakes were made, certainly. But, and that just doesn't erase some of the issues we saw over the course of the season that resulted in the Lakers being in the play-in to begin with and all of that. But I don't think, if you are anti-Darvin, I know a lot of people are, but if you are anti-Darvin Ham, I think there were more egregious games that you could point at than game four. Robo James said, Denver might be exhausted, Lakers in seven. I don't know if Denver's exhausted. I think that's a bit of wishful thinking there. Money Money said, that's an old song. Most of you probably don't know. Do you think D'Lo and Reeves have it in them to have another few games? Hate that Denver isn't as good as we allowed them to be. They didn't even have a lead today. Need Gabe to step up. Yeah, you know, that's the big question for the Lakers. I think Denver has left the door wide open for the Lakers. I think Denver has not been unbeatable. I think they haven't even played all that well this series. In my mind, this series at worst should be 2-2 right now. At worst. God, game three, I was left feeling watching it, thinking that the Nuggets were just waiting for the Lakers to take it. And when the Lakers wouldn't take the game, Denver finally said, all right, I guess we'll just take it then. Fine, I guess if you don't want it, we might as well take it. Right there for the taking for LA. So I think at worst, this series should be 2-2. It's truly unfortunate that it's 3-1 right now with the Nuggets lead. I think the Lakers have played better than Denver for the greater part of this series, but Denver has played better when it's mattered. Down the home stretch, third quarter, fourth quarter, and it's won them games. Do D'Lo and Reeves have it in them? I think they have to. If they don't, that's it. Game over. I think you need, the margin for error is thin enough that you need D'Lo and Reeves to have it going. And that's going to be the case when you're playing the best teams in the NBA. It's the way it goes. Kendrick said, not to be immediately negative after a huge win, but this makes game two that much more heartbreaking. Yeah, as I said, game two, rough. Legendary said, someone must have done the Little Giants one-time motivational speech. Great win. Every game should be one-time mindset. Let's go, Lakers Nation. That's right. That's right. Whether it's Little Giants, the Mighty Ducks, the Triple Deke, whether it's Miracle, you were born to be hockey players, all that stuff. Whatever it is, whatever works for the Lakers to get it done. Got to do it. This is the tough one. This is the tough one, right? Going into Denver, game five, home crowd's going to be on their side, all that. You get back to game six. If you can pull that off, get to game six, Denver's going to tighten up. There's more pressure put on them. Not saying it'll be easy, but you'll have the home crowd. The fan base will be reinvigorated, all of that. This is the big hurdle. Denver doesn't want to go back to LA. They're going to do everything they can do to try to knock you out right now, especially since Minnesota just swept the Suns. So Minnesota is now at home resting to take on the winner of Denver and LA. Denver's going to want to try to end this right now, and it's on the Lakers to try to withstand that. Carlos said, can Ham please play Max instead of Dinwiddie next game? Carlos, I would love to say yes, but it's not happening. It's not going to happen. The ship has sailed. If he's not playing Max up to this point, he's not played Max now. We're four games into the series. It's not happening. He's not going to do it. And I don't agree with it, but I think we just have to accept it at this point, that it's not going to happen. When Michael Porter Jr. demands coverage with somebody who can really navigate screens and trail him, and Max Christie still can't get in over Taurean Prince, over Rui, who both guys I thought were, you know, can struggle a bit trailing defensively, it's not going to happen. And Spencer Dinwiddie's not been great. Gabe Vincent, not been great. I still think those minutes need to be consolidated. Just give the minutes to one guy or the other. And my preference would be Gabe Vincent. The other thing I think you could do is that's how you could get Jared Vanderbilt on the floor, is you could take away some of those minutes there and kind of finagle things in a way that Vando could get in, assuming he is a go tonight. But yeah, I'm not going to delude myself into thinking that Max Christie is going to get minutes. I don't think it's going to happen. If it does, great, but I doubt it. Tully said AD getting the same calls Jokic got would be cool. Yeah, wouldn't that be something? Wouldn't that be nice? An evenly called game? That'd be nice. Ricky, this is the first game I didn't watch or wear Lakers gear. Now I have to do it the rest of the way. Yeah, Ricky, I'm sorry. Those are the rules. I don't make the rules, but those are the rules. Just in case. It probably wasn't you, Ricky, that caused this to happen. But you can't take that chance. We can't risk that. Sorry. It's the way it's going to have to go. Crunchy said, welcome, everyone. Used my birthday wish on this. Oh, was that it? Is that what got the Lakers the win in game four? Okay, we need to find somebody whose birthday it is today to make the Lakers win in game five their birthday wish then. Lakers Nation, we need to make that happen. Somebody needs to use their birthday. It's not my birthday. Otherwise, I'd do it. We need to find somebody who's got a birthday today that can make that happen. By all means, use that birthday wish. Alex, did the Lakers make the right choice in playing Prince over Rui in the fourth? Yes. Yes. In general, on the course of the season, Prince over Rui, it's not a good idea. I don't like that call over the course of the season. This specific matchup, remember, styles make fights. You need someone to chase Michael Porter Jr. You need someone who is not going to lose their head defensively. That's probably Rui's biggest weakness, is he switches off defensively now and then. He misreads things. He makes a step in the wrong direction. The Denver Nuggets are a team that will punish you for that every single time. And Michael Porter Jr., who Rui is defending, is the type of player who will recognize that and will take that shot and make it most of the time and kill you. That's the problem. Taurean Prince, while still not a good lock and trail type defender, not a good screen navigator, I think is better, is more heads up than Rui is. Rui will make mistakes. He gambled for a steal. I don't remember if it was game four or game three. He gambled trying to get a steal on a pass. Didn't get it. It turns into a Porter Jr. three. He was in the wrong spot in game two when Aaron Gordon grabbed that ball as it was falling out of bounds and flung it to Michael Porter Jr. Rui was not where he needed to be in that moment. Taurean Prince is out of position less than Rui is. Again, on the season, overall as a player, Rui over Taurean. But in this specific situation, given how the Denver Nuggets can truly hurt you, give me Taurean minutes here over Rui. That doesn't mean Rui can't still come in and make an impact. He definitely can. I think they're going to need him on the boards. Rui could also go on a heater. He's one. I don't think Taurean has the ability to go and drop 20 or 25. I think Rui has the ability to do that now and then. If you can get a Rui Hachimura heater in game five, that could be a big difference for you. But in general, if the game plays out the way we saw game four play out, I think Taurean is the guy, with maybe Jared Vanderbilt getting into the mix and kind of complicating that even further. Jimmy Charles said, what do we say about Austin Reeves being benched during that stretch that pretty much got the lead? You know, I think that Austin is still a key part of this Lakers team. I think he's a guy that, you know, can make big buckets in big situations. He can make key plays for you. I think he's done really well defensively on Jamal Murray. He's part of the reason why Murray has struggled a bit in this series. So I know, you know, people want to bash Austin whenever they can. Has he made some mistakes? Sure. There have been moments where he hasn't shot the ball particularly well, where he, you know, hasn't converted enough big time threes, especially big moment shots in this series, big threes where it's momentum swinging shot. We've seen him miss some of those, but I don't look at what Austin's done this series and think, oh man, he's been awful, or him being on the bench is what would spur a Lakers run here. I think Austin overall has done a pretty darn good job on both sides of the ball. So I don't know. I have a hard time criticizing Austin. Again, he hasn't been perfect. He's had moments that have been frustrating for sure, but I don't look at what Austin has done this series and think, man, this guy's just been a problem. Get this guy off the floor, get him out of the starting lineup, that type of stuff. And I'm seeing some of that from a few Lakers fans, which is, you know, again, like I said, a little bit surprising. I can understand if you want to try to match up with Denver, you know, not going Austin and D'Lo as a duo on the floor quite as much. I get that. That's, you know, no problem with that if that's what you ultimately land upon. So you've got a little bit more of a feisty defensive backcourt. But I don't look at this series and say, man, Austin has been such a huge, huge problem in this one. Psycho Sports said, Lakers first team to lose three when leading at half in each. So why not be the first team to come back from down 0-3? Yeah, right? Why not? Why not? Mauricio said, if we keep this way of leading in the first half and maintaining the lead, there's a chance. And we need Vando now. Well, got some good news for you there, Mauricio. But as far as if they keep leading in the first half and maintaining the lead, again, I think Denver's going to do everything they can to prevent that this game. I think that's going to be one of the big keys for the Nuggets, not allowing the Lakers to lead at halftime. Switching that whole thing up, that's what we're going to see from Denver in game five. Can the Lakers avoid that? Will they still lead at halftime? Will we follow that same script? We'll see. Again, there's... right now, the Lakers leading at halftime is almost meaningless, right? Like, the Lakers can be up 20 at halftime. I don't care. It doesn't make me feel any better that the Lakers are going to win the game. Now, what if the Lakers were down like 10 at halftime or anything with that? I don't know. I hope we don't experience that. I'd rather be up than down. No question there. But the Lakers can be up 20 at halftime, and it's not like I'm thinking, okay, cool, we're in good shape. No, we've seen the way these series have gone. And literally, I think the Lakers have to be up like 35 at halftime for me to feel pretty comfortable that they're going to hang on and get the win at this point. So a halftime lead to me doesn't mean anything, but I know Denver's going to try to prevent that from happening. That's going to be one of their focal points in game five. They're going to try to go into halftime with a lead. We'll see. Do we follow the same game script or not? All sweat, no banter. So the Lakers' backup guards are straight booty. Well, I don't know if I'd go as far to say booty, but yeah, they haven't been great. Spencer Dinwiddie, Gabe Vincent, they haven't been great. Gabe hit a shot in game four. He's done fine defensively, but you certainly have been wanting more from both those guys. There's no question. You've been wanting more. Spencer Dinwiddie, like, what a bizarre stretch for Spencer Dinwiddie. This is a guy who for years, for a long NBA career, has been known for his offensive game. And then he comes to the Lakers off the buyout market. And he's suddenly like he's barely scoring. His impact is mostly being felt defensively. Go figure. And then there's moments where you could use that old Spencer Dinwiddie and his ability to score the basketball. And it's just, it's like, it's not there anymore. It's weird. I don't know. I don't know what to make of it. And then Gabe Vincent, I mean, was known as this great mid-range pull-up jump shooter and could give you something on the offensive end, you know, big shot maker in the playoffs and all that. Obviously, he's coming back from an injury, so there's reason for this. But still, he hasn't really been that either, although he's been pesky defensively. Tyler said, Dinwiddie provided nothing again in 14 minutes. Max has to get those minutes. He'll either have the same production or be a plus. Can't be worse. I would, look, preach into the choir. Again, I think Vando returning probably gets some minutes there because he can guard twos. I'm fine with that. But, yeah, Dinwiddie hasn't given you a lot.
hasn't given you a lot. And if there was no Vando, if Darvin woke up this morning and said, all right, Max, let's go. Would Max make some mistakes just being a young player in a very tense playoff situation? Yeah, probably. Probably. But I think he's the better defender, honestly, than Dinwiddie. Not saying by a lot. Dinwiddie has the veteran wiles and all that. But Max is bigger. He's going to help you more on the boards. I think there's... Here's where it really hurts. I've been saying all season that they needed to commit like 10 to 15 minutes a night, consistently non-garbage time, right? When you pull up Max Christie's stats for the season, it doesn't look that bad, right? You go, oh, that's not bad, right? Max Christie on the season averaged 14 minutes per game in 67 games. He appeared in 67 games, 14 minutes per game, shot just 36% from three. Not as good as we would have hoped there. Two boards, 4 points. Not much. Not much to write home about, right? Even started 7 games, which is easy to forget. But I think that the games played and the minutes are, especially the games played, are artificially boosted by blowouts. Where Max Christie got minutes, you know, where he played the entire fourth quarter of a game because it was a blowout in one way or the other. So I would have to imagine, again, I haven't gone back to look at it, all the numbers and how many blowout games he's actually appeared in, but I would have to imagine that was a big part of it, was Max playing it in blowout situations. But looking at that, you go 67 games. Okay, that's not bad. But I still think if you gave this guy 10 to 15 minutes a night on a consistent basis in non-blowout minutes, I'm talking about where he's not on the floor with the South Bay Lakers and he's expected to create off the dribble and do all these things that he's not going to do when he's playing with the Lakers. Handle the basketball, be the primary creator, all that kind of stuff. That's what it devolves into. We go back to his role in Summer League last year when he's on the floor with Colin Castleton and Skylar Mays and all those guys. Max Lewis, right? That's when it devolves into, here, Max Christie, here's the ball. You create, pick and roll, let's go. It's Summer League ball from last year. If you gave this guy minutes with a regular rotation, consistent role, and I get there were other guys that needed minutes too and all of that, but I think you would have right now a 3-and-D player, pretty comfortable in his role, pretty comfortable in his minutes, that could be of use in this Denver series. Had you committed to that over the course, the consistent role, and here's who you're going to be playing with, and this is your role. 3-and-D, stretch the floor, catch and shoot guy on the perimeter, and defend like crazy on the other end, help us out a bit on the glass. If you locked him into that role all season long, I think he would be very playable in this series. I think part of the reason why we're not seeing him is because he's not quite prepared for a series like this. And that falls on, I believe, the Lakers for not giving him those opportunities enough over the course of the season. Once again, I believe that a lot of his minutes that show up when you look at his box score, it's garbage time opportunities that are inflating his games played and things like that. Okay. To quote JP from Angels in the Outfield, hey, it could happen. Can we do the impossible? We've shown we can hang with Denver. Got to stay disciplined. Again, this is the big one. You want to get to it in game 7? Game 5, this is the big hurdle tonight. This Denver is going to throw everything at the Lakers tonight. If the Lakers can survive this, they can take the hit and keep moving forward because that's how winning's done. God, that was a great, speaking of great sports speeches, that speech from Rocky, that was a great one. Just a great one. You find a way to survive tonight, and oh boy, then it becomes real. Then it becomes, could this really happen? Anthony said, watching from Dubai, glad the streak is over. Thank you, Anthony. Welcome in from Dubai. And yes, finally, the streak is over. We knew last game 4, we knew something was ending. Something would end in game 4, either the Lakers season or the streak. One of those two things was going to end. Thank goodness it was the streak. AJ, if we make up rumors to trade D'Lo, do you think that'll make him drop 30 in the next three games? I guess it couldn't hurt, right? I mean, contractually, I know the cap nerd in me wants to get into the fact that you can't really do that because D'Lo could be a free agent. He can't trade a free agent, all that kind of stuff. But yeah, I mean, do you get deadline D'Lo then? I hope so. You won't survive game three D'Lo. You won't survive game one D'Lo. You need game two or game four D'Lo. The rest of the series, you have to get that. Game one or game three D'Lo and the Lakers are going home. It's that simple. Chelsea, 136 minutes the Lakers have led compared to 42 for Denver. They've led the important minutes, but as I said, the Lakers, they've actually been handling this Denver team pretty well. Just not in the key moments. Not in the key moments. But the Lakers have been handling them in the first half. Again, Denver's going to try to stop that tonight. But yeah, the Lakers have been getting the better of Denver more often in this series. And yet Denver's up 3-1. Should have been 4-0 if there's no second half. Well, yeah, if you didn't play the second half of the game, sure. Lakers won every second half. Top dollar, trade for Bruce Brown. Just sent it for your failure to see the joke I've been making since the bubble on this crazy ride. Ham has to go, though. That's serious. Trade for Bruce Brown. He's a guy. The Raptors are going to try to move him probably this summer. It'll be something to keep an eye on. But as far as Ham needing to go, he might need to go. I think the only way that they don't seriously look at Darvin Ham, you're out, is they make another run to the Western Conference Finals or better, you know, the NBA Finals. I think you have to take a very serious, very real look, and I think LeBron is going to have a lot to say about it. Man, he was not happy when Darvin didn't use the challenge. When LeBron was demonstratively saying, use the challenge here, and Darvin didn't back him up. And LeBron with that player option, free agency to hold over the Lakers' head. I think as much as it very much is the Lakers' decision, but LeBron's going to have a say. What does he say? Does LeBron say keep Darvin? Or does LeBron say, yeah, we need somebody else? Is somebody else available? It's the other question. Ricky, it's a mental thing with Denver. We have the talent. Yeah. I think the mental thing popped up in game two. I think the mental side of it is why the Lakers didn't win game two. There was that, oh no, here we go again mentality. And that just can't happen. Now, again, kind of going back to Rocky IV. Apparently, this is the sports movie episode of the show, as it were. But going back to Rocky IV, right? The Lakers just proved that Denver can bleed. They're mortal. Flesh and blood, not machines. If it bleeds, you can kill it. And the Lakers just proved it because they beat Denver in game four. Now, does that give them the confidence boost to win game five? We'll see. I Could Be Surfing said, what adjustments do you expect from Denver? Well, I kind of already went over those. I think they're going to commit extra box out bodies on Anthony Davis and trust that LeBron, Rui, et cetera, are not going to do work on the boards. They're going to really commit to Anthony Davis, trying to keep him off the glass. I think they are going to do what they can to get Michael Porter Jr. more open looks, to put Rui Hachimura into decision-making positions. I think they will try to get Jamal Murray going, maybe with some more opportunities in the mid-range, assuming he plays, which again, I am assuming he will play in this game, even though he is listed as questionable. And I do think Denver's going to make a very real effort to not lose the first half. I think we're going to see them come out with much more attention to detail, much more energy. That's what I think. California Chief said, this win has me thinking of Rocky IV. Oh, there it is. The Rocky IV analogy. It's even coming up in the chat. Sports movie show. Let's go. Says, see, he's not a machine. He's a man. There it is. Oh, there's another one. Jared, you cut him. You hurt him. See, he's not a machine. He's a man. Rocky IV. Yep. We were talking about it on that post-game show that these comments are coming in from. River of Custard said, Nuggets look very human tonight. People are exaggerating, comparing them to prime Golden State. The Nuggets don't feel dominant. They don't right now. And I think the Lakers are a great matchup for Denver. Like, if I'm Denver, I'm going, yeah, we match up well with the Lakers. Let's go. But the Nuggets don't look dominant, which on one hand is a good thing for the Lakers, obviously. If it's not the Lakers, though, I want whoever comes out of the West to kick Boston's ass in the finals. I love the Knicks this year. They're so damn fun to watch. Just the heart, the hustle, the grit, the way they attack the offensive glass, they are relentless. I don't have a lot of faith that the Knicks are going to beat Boston. I hope they do. That would be incredible. I think the Knicks are the only shot we've got in the East right now, save for another amazing Miami comeback, which I'm not predicting. I think the Knicks are the only shot we have of slowing down the Celtics, and I don't think it's a great shot. I don't think it's a great shot. As good as the Knicks are, as fun as they are to watch, I don't think it's a great shot. But I need, if it's not the Lakers, I just need it to not be the Celtics and not be the Clippers. So if it's the Wolves, I need the Wolves to beat the hell out of the Celtics. If it's Denver, let's go Denver. I'd rather have a Denver title than a Celtics title, of course. I need the Mavs to wake up and beat the Clippers. That series is now 2-2. Come on, Dallas. Knock those guys out. If it's OKC, I worry if it's OKC because they're young, but they're talented. Ideally, the Lakers just do it themselves. Wouldn't that be great? Miraculous run all the way. And then beat Boston for number 18. That's the dream. That's the dream. Jay Bowman said, I'm 36 and the mall and skate ring are a must go. Go Lakers. Oh, I was trying to explain to Sean how important malls were to kids back in the day. Back when we were going to buy our Walkman or our Discman, trying to buy a CD. I remember deciding between buying a cassette tape or a CD when I was getting my music. I specifically remember sitting in Best Buy, having the CD and the cassette of The Offspring's absolutely epic album, Smash. One of the greatest of all time. Incredible stuff. I mean, I was in agony trying to decide, do I save a little extra money and get the cassette, or do I spend a little more and get the CD? That's the way it used to be back in the day. I was trying to explain the importance of places like that. Now you can just order things online. You want music, you just download it, whatever. You can stream it, all that kind of stuff. The world is a very different place now. I was trying to explain to Sean the importance of malls. I don't even remember what the context was, but that's why we've got comments here talking about malls and all that. People used to go and walk the mall for exercise. All the good shops were at the mall. Nobody had cell phones. Pay phones were all over the place. You just want to have your mom come pick you up. If you're a real cool kid, you had a pager. All that stuff back in the day. Back in the day. Times have changed. Times have changed. As Bob Dylan said, the times, they are changing. All right, everybody. Let's hope the times are a changing indeed on the Denver Nuggets, the reigning champs, and the Lakers are going to get them once again in game 5. Let's go. Let's get that win. Don't forget to come join us over on Playback tonight for the play-by-play, playback.tv/LakersNation, the YouTube channel as well, youtube.com/LakersNation. Hang out with us during the game. We'll be talking throughout the whole thing, breaking things down, talking hoops. It's a good time. Come hang out with us during game 5, Lakers Nuggets. Let's go. Till then, everybody. See ya and stay safe.